Where else do we see this mention of the renewal of the mind? Romans 12:2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Without this mindset change, without this renewal, we still are going to look like everyone else. We can put off, but unless there's a change, we still just look the same. We can't effectively put on new clothes until our thinking has been altered. This is all possible with the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that we have been sealed by, that we read in Ephesians 1:13 a few weeks ago, or a few months ago, it's been a while. And again, later in verse 30, we're going to see that here. So put off. Now let's put it on. And we're not switching slides because I'm still in verse 24. And to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Colossians 3:10, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed. Galatians 5 talks a little bit about the sinful nature and leading up to verse 22, the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. We've heard them all. This is what we should be putting on. You see, it isn't just about repenting and putting off. We realize we did something wrong. We can all do that. I can lose my temper with my kids and repent, realize I did something wrong, but unless I'm putting on love and patience, I'm just going to do the same thing tomorrow. I'm going to do the same thing in a few hours. We don't just put off. We need to put on. The new self isn't just a refurbished version of our old self. This is a totally new creation. Does the world see that? Do you see any of the fruits of the Spirit in you? Do they see them in me? Put your name in there. Do they see Christ? Moving to verses 25 through 31, starting with just 25, we're about to see the things we shouldn't be recognized for. And I know some of you are thinking, what about the rest of 24? You literally skipped the end of verse 24. We're going to come back to that, I promise. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. Same challenge in Colossians 3:9. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self. When we can't trust each other, we can't have that unity Johnny was talking about last week, the whole first half of Ephesians 4. We are all members of one body, and we have to work together. The foundation of any relationship, any team, any group, partnership, any church is trust. And when we lie and deceive each other, we break that bond. We break down that unity. Now, of course, there's a time and place for certain truths, and we need to be discerning. Now wouldn't be the time where I talk to one of you and share some truth with you and some secrets in front of everyone that needs to be on the side, that needs to be one-on-one. There's a time and a place for certain truths. Ephesians 4:26 through 27. Just need to hit that space bar a little harder, you know what I mean? There we go. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Anger is an emotion we have when wrongdoing was done to us, was done to someone else. Anger worth mentioning anyways. We all get angry when we stub our toe or when our favorite sports team loses. That's not what we're talking about here. It's understandable, but that's not what we're going with. Anger is an emotion we feel when wrongdoing has occurred. So the immediate feeling we have isn't the problem. In your anger, do not sin. So the anger is fine. Doesn't say don't be angry, but in your anger, do not sin. It's how we respond to that emotion that's the key. A few weeks ago, we were in Michigan visiting the in-laws. We went to a fair together. Johnsons were up there as well. Good times. And Anthony and I went, and David, my brother-in-law, and his son Calvin. And so we're at the fair watching these cars racing. It was exciting. We were on these bleachers. We were on the highest row, as far away as you could be. And in the excitement, Anthony dropped his watch. And it was just like, oh, no. And he's immediately sad. This isn't the bleachers you just like, you jump down. We're pretty high up, not that crazy. And we see a kid run through, grabs the watch, and just takes off. And I'm like, okay, Okay. I felt that. So that feeling right there, is that bad? No, because someone just stole something from my son that I love. That anger's okay. Now, if I go run after that kid and I slap him around a little bit, push him down, put his face in the mud, that's a problem. That's a poor response of my righteous anger. Now, what I could do, some good, what we ended up doing, I didn't slap the kid, by the way, because I couldn't find him. It's a learning opportunity for Anthony. Hey, this child just took something from you that was wrong, but we need to forgive him. And if I found the kid, this wasn't yours. You took from somebody else, And so there's different ways to respond to that anger. Anger isn't the problem. It's how we respond to that. When someone wrongs us, how do we respond? Do we just tuck it away and cook up a little bitterness? Do we share it with others so they'll feel the same way as we do? When we don't appropriately address anger, when we let the sun go down, that's what gives birth to sin. That's what allows the devil to get a foothold. Seek out the individual or the individuals and find some resolution. Talk it through. Honestly, most of the time it's a misunderstanding. When we're angry with somebody, we talk to them. It's just like, oh, shoot, I'm glad we talked about that. Otherwise, for 3 months, I would have been pretty ticked off at you. And that develops sin, and that brings out sin and poor responses and poor conversation. Address anger. Do it the right way. In your anger, do not sin. Verse 28. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Two things. Don't steal. Something's not yours, don't take it. Number two, work. But more importantly, do something useful that you can share with those in need. Christians are experts, and this is myself included, because I'm a Christian, are experts at not accepting gifts and help from people. We're really good at that. For example, a couple thoughtfully and prayerfully wants to give an air conditioning unit to somebody they know it just recently broke down. We've been thinking about this. We just wanted to give this to you. Many of us would respond, oh, no, that's fine. You really don't have to do that. Give it to somebody else who needs it more. We've all done this. And when you're the giver, that hurts. When you're the one trying to give what the Lord has laid on your heart to give somebody, and it's just being pushed back to you, that rejection hurts. So give to others in need and accept the gift. So what's the answer to this nice problem we have? It's be creative. Don't ask people, just do it. You see someone that needs something and the Lord's laid it on your heart and you have the opportunity to do something, just do it. Make it anonymous, then they can't even return it. Don't steal. Purpose to work with your hands that you may share with others in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come into your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Kent Hughes describes unwholesome as decay-spreading conversation which runs others down and delights in their weakness. As a kid growing up, I always read this passage and thought this was the don't swear verse. And then just say, okay, I'm not swearing, and then just move on. I think if that's the only thing you gain here, you're missing out. Last week, there was a few of us at Life Group, like five or six of us guys. We were just chatting, going through some stuff, catching up. And after a while, you started to have the feeling, I think we all know where this is in the conversation, where it's going to go the opposite direction of helpful and beneficial and building up others. And right before we went down that road, someone said something along the lines of, how do we respond to that? Or what can we do? Not sure of the verbiage exactly, but point being, as a result of that purposeful question, the next hour or two of discussion was amazing and productive and beneficial and helpful in building up others. And because one individual showed that at the beginning of the conversation, 20 minutes later, when maybe I'm like, well, that stinks, someone else can come in and be like, okay, so what are we going to do about that? Instead of, you know what I mean? Make that conversation productive. That's what this passage is speaking about. Gossip. Gossip is another dangerous way the devil can get a foothold. Produce a little bitterness, produce a little resentment, produce feelings in you that you didn't even have before that conversation happened. You're like, huh, I didn't think of that. He's really upset about that. Now I'm really upset about that. And then next group I'm with, I share the same thing and I get some more people riled up. That's the devil getting a foothold. We all do it. Be purposeful with your words. Be purposeful with your conversation. Be that person that steers the conversation in the right direction. Verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Woo! In case you forgot, you were sealed by the Holy Spirit. Are you kidding me? He lives in you. Not some smoke or some magic in the air or some good luck charm, but a divine being that is personal and grieves and is hurt when I choose not to put off the old self, when I choose things that aren't Christ. Brothers and sisters, we have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. Let us not grieve him. Let us choose that new self, which is choosing Christ. Verse 31, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Here we see a summary of the old self, some of the things we've already talked about. Get rid of these things. Put off the old self. We can all relate to at least one of these. Let me read it again. Bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, malice. We need to put off the old self daily. This just doesn't happen when we get saved or three months later when we start to feel like we're sinning a lot. This needs to happen every single day. We need to put off this old self and recognize what we need to put it on. So let's put it on. Let's go. Same slide. Slide thing's tricky. Trust me. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. So let's get practical here. How do we put off slander? We put on kindness. If we're viewing others and wanting the best for them, we won't have a reason to slander, to say nasty things about them. How do we put off stealing? Not having a giving heart. We put on compassion. Compassion is seeing someone else in need and doing something about it. Seeing those less fortunate, those in trouble, and lending a helping hand. If we have compassion, we have no reason to take from someone. We have no reason to hoard the possessions that we have. And how do we put off unrighteous anger? We forgive others just as Christ God forgave us. If you think someone has done something unreasonable or disrespectful or unforgivable to you, forgive just as in Christ God forgave you. We need to put off, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, adjust our mindset by the renewing of our minds and put on Christ. And we can't just decide on what not to do. We've talked about that a little bit already. But so, example, I'm not going to lie anymore. If we just stop there, we're going to keep lying. That's the putting off. I'm not going to lie anymore. Why? Because it disrupts unity. Unity everywhere, but specifically here in church. We are all members of one body. That's the renewal of the mind. That's the adjustment of your mindset. Now, what instead? Speak the truth. Speak what is helpful and beneficial to others. That's the putting on. We must do all three. We need to put off, adjust the mind, put on. So why any of this? What's the point? Putting off, putting on, change this, change that. I'm sick of changing clothes. Why are we doing all this? Back to verse 24. I wasn't lying to you folks. And put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. We were created to be with him. We were created to be like him. He still desires that. Even though we sin every day, all the time, he still desires to be with us. How do we respond to this truth? If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I encourage you to accept that free gift that has been already given to you. Jesus Christ came down from heaven to earth to become a man, to die on the cross for your sins, and he rose from the dead. He paid for that penalty. Paid for all the wrong things we've ever done and all the wrong things we'll ever do. He paid that debt for you, for me, for all of us. And all we have to do is believe. Believe and accept that gift. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. It's Acts 16:31. I encourage you to do that this morning. Talk to anyone in this room. We'd be happy to talk to you about this amazing free gift. As the praise team comes up, I just want to encourage those who have already experienced this joy. Our desire should be to become more and more like him every single day. Our desire should be to become, I was just going to read the same sentence again, but it's that important. We should desire to become more and more like him every day. Our natural response to such a great salvation, this salvation that we've been learning at through this whole book, should be a life that honors him. We should be a church that the world can look at and see unity. But more importantly, see our unity in Christ. If we are putting off the old self and putting on the new, which is Christ, the world won't have to guess who is who. They're going to see Christ. Let's close in prayer. Our God and Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for loving us, for dying in pain for our sins to provide a way back into your presence. Lord, every day is going to be a battle. We're going to have the temptation to live the way we used to live before we knew you. Give us the strength every morning to choose you, to choose Christ. Thank you for giving us your word. Let us purpose to know it better so we can draw closer to you every day until we see you one day in heaven. Lord, we love you. Please bless our continued worship this morning. Amen.